Turn, if you would please, in your Bibles this morning to Paul's letter to the Philippians. Our text this morning will come from the second chapter and the first 8 verses. Hear God's word. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace and mercy toward us in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that you would please, through the power of your Spirit indwelling, open our minds, illuminate the truth of your word to us, reveal yourself in it, humble our spirits and our hearts, that we might submit and obey to what you have for us here. We thank you in the name of your beloved Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are at this particular moment in time coming to the end of what's popularly known as the Christmas season. Indeed, in 2 days, across broader Christianity, many will be gathering together with their family and their friends and will be focusing on and commemorating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on the incarnation of the second person of the Trinity, of the Son. And words will be spoken, and the Christmas story will be read, and the proclamation of peace in God through Jesus Christ will be at the forefront of the minds of many Christians. And today in our text, the incarnation is indeed at the forefront of the mind of the Apostle Paul, but in a way that might be a little different than what we're accustomed to thinking when we think of that incarnation. Here, Paul focuses on the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ as the essence, the epitome, and the basis for Christian unity. And here in these Spirit-inspired words, the incarnate Christ calls us, brothers and sisters, to unity in him. In the first verse of our passage this morning, Paul sets down the foundation from which this Christian unity is to flow. Read with me again. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy. Here in these 4 statements, Paul is setting before us nothing less than the gospel, and setting that up as the foundation from which Christian unity will indeed flow. It's important to understand the argument that Paul is making. The point that he's making here is not to set up possible conditions that may exist, and if they may exist, then we can hope to have unity, but rather to hold them up as the objective realities of the common Christian experience and faith in Jesus Christ. These are not things that may be. These are things that are. So then we could then understand this passage in the sense that because there is consolation in Christ, because there is comfort of love, because there is fellowship of the Spirit, because of affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Again, these are the common Christian experiences that we all find in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Indeed, the source of our consolation and our encouragement is in the knowledge of knowing that we are in Christ, the fount of all consolation and encouragement. It's knowing that we have experienced in our salvation and continue to experience on a daily basis in His grace, the comfort of the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, guiding us, nurturing us, sanctifying us. Indeed, it is the bond of the Spirit that forms the basis of our union to Christ and of our union to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, the foundation of the fellowship that we have that brings us here this afternoon to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course, it is the affection and the mercy of our gracious God that has provided the means by which we are all assembled here today. Our salvation. These are the realities of the gospel. This is what it is to know Christ. And Paul holds these up so that in knowing these experiences that we all have had, these objective realities of the gospel, we then should be pushed to live out that reality reflected in the way that we view our brothers and sisters in Christ and the way that we live in and amongst and fellowship with them. The foundation for our unity is the gospel of Christ itself, and there is no surer foundation, brothers and sisters. And based upon that foundation, he then issues the call in verse 2, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded." And that concept of like-minded there is the idea of having the same mind. It's an idea of having the same attitude that colors our life in Christ. It's the idea of being characterized by the same perspective that should permeate all of who we are and incorporate itself in the entirety of our Christian being. That each one of us should possess one singularity of mind. And through that singularity of mind, be united together. In verse 2, we read, "Having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind," and that general call to like-mindedness, that general call to that attitude that is supposed to characterize the way we think and view one another in Christ, finds its particulars laid out before us. Having the same mind, being like-minded, is having the same love. A love of God. A love of one another. Indeed, the love spoken out of in chapter 1, where he prays that their love might abound more and more. Their love for their God, their love for one another, and that love driving that same mindedness that should characterize them. In addition to that, he asks them or tells them to be of one accord. And the idea there is a unity of spirit, that they are to be united in spirit together through this same mindedness, of one mind, intent on the same purpose, of one mind, of one thought and focus and attention. Seeing then that this unity incorporates the heart, the spirit, and the soul, we grasp the fullness of what the apostle is saying here, that we are to have a whole-bodied same mindedness amongst us as brothers and sisters in Christ, characterizing the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that same mindedness manifests itself in our attitudes and our actions and our dispositions towards one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Look with me at verse 3. Having given us the particulars of the content of same-mindedness, he then goes on to say, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." And so that same-mindedness now finds itself being expressed in a practicality that manifests itself in the way that we interact with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And what he says here cuts across the grain of what is our natural tendency apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. The tendency to want to lift ourselves up. The tendency to want to take what has been given us by the grace of God and use it not to further His kingdom and further His cause, but rather to use it to lift ourselves up in the eyes of men, to pursue our own agendas, to be exalted in the eyes of those around us, to consider ourselves and our ambitions to be so important as to be placed above everything and everyone else. In contrast to this, the apostle tells us to be lowly of mind, to consider others better than himself, than ourselves. And this is the very reversal of the attitude of the natural human heart. We tend to focus on our gifts. We tend to focus on our positives and on our own strengths, and to be lifted up and puffed up in pride, while focusing on the faults and the weaknesses that we see in those around us. And then to pursue our relationship with them with those in mind, to look down on them as beneath us, as inferior to us. But the essence of Christian unity and of this same-mindedness that the apostle speaks of here is the reversal of that order. It's instead looking and recognizing who you are in and of yourself apart from Christ, knowing your own faults, knowing your own weaknesses, and that without Christ you are nothing. And on the other hand, it's looking at your brothers and sisters in Christ and seeing them as they are in Him. Gifted of Him to accomplish His purpose in this world. Robed with His righteousness. Justified in Him. Indeed, it is to recognize ourselves apart from Christ and to see them in Christ. But not only that, the apostle tells us in verse 4, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." And again, this is another one of those directives that cuts to the core of who we are. And the tendency, especially in a culture that is so fiercely individualistic, so focused upon individual rights, individual possession, individual prosecution of agendas and purposes in life, oftentimes and unfortunately so often to the exclusion and even at the expense of others. The Christian life is not a narrow-minded focus to where 6 days out of the week we are consumed with our own things, our own concerns, our own needs. And those needs and concerns and situations and circumstances of our brothers and sisters in Christ find their place on the back burner, if they're on the oven at all, except for on the Lord's day. Such a mindset is contrary to the mindset that the Apostle Paul is urging upon us in this passage. But rather, the cares and the concerns the interests and the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ should be right at the forefront of our minds each and every day. That just as we are concerned with the necessities of life for ourselves, so we ought to have a concern for the well-being and welfare of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that brings us to the main focus of what Paul is saying here today. He sets forth the foundations for Christian unity. He issues the call. He gives us the content of that call, which is nothing short of humility. And then he puts before us Christ. And he holds him up as the source and the basis and the ultimate example of what Christian unity through humility is. Read with me in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want you to take a moment to feel the force of what Paul is saying here. If you recall, in verse 2, he says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. And the verb there behind by being like-minded is the same verb that is behind let this mind be in you. What Paul is saying here is nothing short of having the same mind is having the mind of Christ. Is being characterized by the same attitude that characterized our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is nothing short of being conformed to the image of Christ. And indeed, this attitude manifested itself in the actions of our Lord and Savior that we find here in verses 6 through 8. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And here is laid out before us this same-mindedness in action in the incarnation and the life and the death of Jesus Christ. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. And that phrase for many of you in your translation, robbery to be equal with God, may be translated something along the lines of he did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped. And the idea of what's being said here is that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the very form of God, equal with God, did not consider it something to hold on to tight-fistedly at all cost, to be seized and grasped and held on to without any thought or concern for the interests of others. To the contrary, he gave that up. Instead of being tight-fisted concerning his equality with God, verse 7 says that he made himself of no reputation. And the one who was in the form of God took upon himself the form of a bondservant. The one who was equal with God humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient to the point of death. Obedient to the point of death on the cross. And consider for a moment the weight of what's put before us here today. Jesus Christ was in the form of God. He is very God. equal with God in heaven. And he took upon himself the form of a servant. And he humbled himself and became obedient to the will of the Father. For love for his Father. For love for his people. For his chosen ones. And if our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did not find that equality with God something to be held with so tight a fist, consider then the arrogance when we hold things with that tight fist and we refuse to release our grip for the people of God, for the body of Christ, for the interests of others. What do we possess that is more than what Christ possessed there? What is it that we find so important that we cling to it with an unwillingness to have a mind towards our brothers and sisters in Christ? And understanding the depth of the humility that Christ demonstrated in the way that he died. He humbled himself even when that obedience carried itself into death, and not only that, but the most ignominious, shameful death of the time in which he lived. And hearkening back to Deuteronomy, cursed is he who hangs upon the tree, bearing the very curse of God for the sake of his people. This is the essence of Christian unity. This is the heart with which this same mindedness that the Apostle Paul calls us to this afternoon beats. Brothers and sisters, the way in which we view one another, the attitude that we have toward one another, the concern that we take for one another ought to mirror the attitude and the concern of our Lord and Jesus Christ that he demonstrated in clothing himself in human flesh, living the life of a servant, dying upon the cross for the love of his Father, for the good of his people. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, have the mind of Christ for the sake of the body of Christ, to the praise and the glory of his name. Let's pray.